Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
David's enemies told him that there was no help for him in God when Absalom tried to usurp his throne. However, David knew that God was his shield and his glory. That is, David knew that even if he could not feel it at the moment, he knew without a doubt that God's presence was with him. Likewise, as Christians, we know that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us, regardless of our circumstances. Please open your Bible to Psalm 3 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola continues his study of David's prayer.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, bless his holy.
God is our shield. He is our shield. It's the shield of faith. And we have to lift that shield up. Remember when Abraham defeated the kings after he rescued carnal Lot, and he was concerned that those five kings were going to come after him. And in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham, I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward." God is your shield tonight, beloved. Your shield, too, this side. Not only that side's got it, this side, too. I am your shield. God is your shield. But God is not only your shield. He says, God is my glory. The glory comes from a word that the hippie movement ripped off. Comes from a word that means heavy, weighty. Back in the 60s, everything was heavy. Everything was weighty. Everything. Beautiful sunset. Wow, that's heavy, dude. Wow, that's weight. Well, this doesn't mean anything like that. This speaks of the weight of God's presence. When David spoke about the glory of God, he was speaking about the presence of God. You are my glory. Lord, I may not feel you, but I know that your presence is here with me. You believe that tonight? The cloud of glory, you remember, was spread over Israel. And it was a visible sign of the presence of God in the midst of his people. Lord, you are my shield and you are my glory. You're my glory. The glory of God is in this place tonight. Now, as a king, David, as we saw at the introduction, was extremely wealthy. And he had probably led Israel into one of the most economic thriving times. But at this moment, he had lost all of his earthly glory. But he did not lose the real glory. And that was the surrounding presence of the Lord. You see, you and I could lose everything in a moment of time here on earth, and yet not lose a single thing. You believe that? You know, one of the things that I've been chewing over, and I think I let the can, the tuna fish out of the can a couple of weeks ago, was how the Apostle John talked about the difference between knowing and believing. He says, we have known and believed. You and I can know a lot of Bible information, but it will not change you until you believe it in your heart. You may know it in your head. You may be able to pass an ordination exam or a seminary exam or an online ordination exam. You may know the facts. That's good. That's wonderful. But it has to get into your heart. When your knowledge is blended with what you believe, there is going to be a change. How you think, how you live, how you walk, how you pray. The gospel of Jesus Christ is really quite radical. When we Know it and believe it. You see, we seek a city that is to come, don't we? We're just passing through here. This is just a temporary place. We're just here for a few years. We're waiting for the return of the Lord to be with Him. And I say that tonight, beloved, because why would God give to His bride, His church, armor? Because we're in a war. And I'm amazed at how many believers live like our sojourn on earth is a ticket to Disneyland. This is a war. This is a real war. And we wrestle not. Notice this. Remember this. When people get under your nerves. Now, that's not the people that come on Wednesday night. That's for the people that come to the other services on Sunday. So I'm talking about them. When people get under your skin, when people get under you, they just drive you the wrong way. Well, let me ask you, in case you are, do you have any people that are like that? Of course you're not going to raise your hand. But I know you should. Remember this. Remember this. This was brought up. I just got back from a conference with Pastor Ben, and it was pointed out, it was so clear. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What a promise that is. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of what? Strongholds. You have a shield, beloved. You have a shield. God Almighty is your shield. God Almighty is your glory. Now connect the dots. Israel had enemies in the Old Testament. The church has enemies in the New Testament. Both Testaments, God's declaration to His people is what? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Your responsibility is to represent me. I will take care of you. Can you deal with that? Or would you rather... David's got enemies. Did Saul hate David? Absolutely. And there was a time that David and his men were in a cave. David had already been anointed to be the king. And Saul and his men come into the cave to take a little bit of rest. And so some of David's men says, "Hey, David, Saul's over there. He's sawing wood." So remember what he did one time? He cut his garment. Then he got so convicted. They leave the cave. He goes to the other side and says, "Saul, Saul, Saul, forgive me. Forgive me. This guy wants to kill you." But you know why David was so brokenhearted? Because he says, "Don't touch the Lord's anointed." You see, because until God moved Saul out of the position of being king, as far as David was concerned, Saul was still his king. He could have killed him. I think it was two times. And he didn't. You know why? Because he believed that God was his son and his shield. And so here's David. He couldn't have been feeling any lower than he was. Here he's got his son Absalom leading the charge, his counselor Ahithophel, and who knows how many other people coming against him. And yet, they're taunting him. That's what the enemy does. He wants to taunt you. He wants to wear you down. "But thou, O Lord, you are a shield for me. You are a glory and you lift up my head. Then in verses 4 through 6, assurance. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. The holy hill refers to the location of the Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark of the presence of the Lord. David's confidence is not shaken. He's not hiding his head in the sand. He's not denying that there's a battle. He's not tempting God. These people are coming at him, and he avoids them. But his confidence is not shaken. He reminds himself, Lord, you have declared, you are my shield, you are my glory, you are the lifter up of my head. Now, this is where Bible reading and Bible memorization intentionally is very profitable, because you cannot draw out of an empty vessel. Hide God's word in your heart. Don't wait until you're under attack and think, well, where's that scripture? I know it's somewhere in the New Testament. Hide it in your heart. Speak it. Where do I get that idea when you're under enemy attack? Well, let's just think. Jesus, after 40 days in the wilderness, is at the pinnacle of the temple with Satan. Now, nobody else was there but Jesus and Satan. So Jesus passes it down to those who write it for you and I. And every time that the enemy came after Jesus, Satan came after Jesus with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, what did Jesus, Son of Man, do? He said, it is written, it is written, it is written. That's how you resist the devil. It's written. You get that sword out. You get that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is written. It is written, Satan. Jesus is my son. Jesus is my shield. Jesus is my glory. He cries unto the Lord. And when the Bible says that David cried, he cried. It was an audible shout. Here's the idea. If someone tries to mug you on the street, you're walking down the street, someone tries to mug you, go, help. Help. Is that what you would do? Please let me go. This word cry means David is yelling. You ever been there? Ever been there, saints? I have. Where you get to that place of whatever. You're making these declarations of who God is, and yet the opposition, he doesn't go right away. Oh, okay. So he just keeps coming and coming and coming and coming and firing and firing. And as long as he fires, you have to resist. And he cries out to the Lord. David yelled for help. And he says, and God heard me. When you cry out to the Lord for help, he'll be there. I'm not saying that the dilemma you're going through, the problem you're facing, will dissipate immediately. But I can tell you this, the moment you cry out to the Lord, he will be there for you. To let you know, I'm here for you. I'm here for you, right here, right now. Do you believe that? I don't ask you if you know it. Do you believe it? Good. Yes. Yes. It's interesting. David's deliverance would come from the very same holy hill of sacrifice upon which Jesus would ultimately die for our sins and deliver us. So, what does David do? Book a room at the Marriott? He's outside. He's got nowhere to go. Caves, forests. So what is he going to do? Now, I'm such a giant of faith that I would probably, if such a thing existed, I would throw flares up in the air. I would write to my congressman or something like that and say, this is just unjust. I more than likely would not sleep very well. Look at verse 5. I laid me down and slept, and I woke up, for the Lord sustained me. Isn't that amazing? I mean, this is real. This is real. You understand that, right? This is truth. This is a real man, flesh and blood, like you and I, under attack. He's crying out to the Lord. There's danger. He's out in this wilderness. He cries to the Lord. The Lord hears him. He sleeps. In Psalm 121, verse 4, we read, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Does David have problems? Can you help me out here? He's physically outnumbered. He's emotionally, he must be emotionally taxed and drained. Now, he knows who his God is, but notice that this doesn't go away immediately. He sleeps. Psalm 121, verse 4. Behold, he that keepeth thee, Israel, shall neither slumber nor sleep. Now, I've heard it said jokingly, but it's nothing to joke about when someone is going through a difficult time, like David was. I've heard it said, well, David knew that God would be up all night, so there was no reason why both of them had to stay awake. But to me, that may be borderline humor. But if you're David, you said that's a bad joke. But you know it wasn't a joke? The fact that when David cried out to the Lord and the Lord heard him, he had a peace. He had a peace that passes understanding. Loss of sleep because of anxiety from any or all kinds of pressures is overcome tonight as it was for David. How? Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. Careful. Stressed out. Flip out. Freak out. For nothing. How many of you read that verse before? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. What an incredible promise. So when the scripture says, be careful for nothing, what am I to assume? That God knows us very well. And there are going to be things that will happen to you and I that will tip the anxiety scale. Have you ever been there? The worry scale, the freak out scale. You get the email, you get the text message. It happens to all of us. Now that's real. You don't ignore that. But there's a truth, beloved. there's a truth that is superior to all of that. And that is that we serve a God who cares for us. We serve a God who loves us. We serve a God who says, no good thing will I withhold from you as you walk uprightly. We serve a God who tells us we walk by faith, not by sight. And when we cry out to the Lord in the depths of despair like David was, we can sleep. And then David says in verse 6, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Even though the whole world, David's world at that time was against him, he says he will not be afraid. He talks to himself. You know, the Bible tells us to talk to yourself. It says, speak to your fears, doesn't it? In Psalm 127, verse 1, David said in another place, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In Psalm 56, verse 11, we read, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do unto me? Oliver Cromwell was considered by many to be the bravest man that ever lived. And someone asked him, what is the explanation of your bravery? And Cromwell replied, because I fear God, I have no man to fear. And so now he prays again. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. Now, notice, David does not seek revenge. He says, Lord, arise. He calls upon the Lord to take action. And then he recognizes how he had done it in the past. He says, for you have smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. I understand that it really hurts to get hit on the cheekbone. And he says, God, when I've called upon you in the past, you smote my enemies in the cheekbone. You broke their teeth. You rendered them powerless, like a toothless lion. Then verse 8, hope. Hope. Salvation belongs unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Salvation, deliverance, help belongs to God. God is the author and originator of our salvation. And David glories in the fact that salvation or God's gift to him is a certain thing. Isn't it amazing? David began the psalm with complaints of the strength and malice of his enemies, but he concludes with rejoicing in the salvation and blessing of his God. And then it says, Selah. So I don't know how many of you may be in a storm tonight. A mental storm. A relational storm. A family storm. A physical storm. Just pause for a moment. Just pause for a moment. Just look up. This same Lord and God is your Lord and God. He is your shield. He is your glory. Bless the Lord,
O my soul, bless His holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah. A daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward, moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.